Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it. Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of those
cowboys. All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holla.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker. Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, November 20th, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. I've got quite a show for you tonight. Should be having my huge, huge guest calling in very shortly. Took off last week. Been going on and on for months and months and months about how horrible my computer is and how it's just, you know, it's got AIDS, but like the Magic Johnson AIDS that it didn't die. You know, it didn't die. Well, I finally got the computer fixed, thanks to Anthony Missionary Thomas over from the Wrestling Soup, my dude. He walked me through the whole thing on the phone, pretty much restarted the whole thing, from scratch, more or less, saved what I could, moved some things around, external hard drives, blah, blah, blah. And, long story short, got it under control. There's a bunch of different things that I still have to learn and get used to and whatnot because it's, pretty much starting from scratch and, a couple different programs I'm not used to, but it's going to be better. And, the show is actually going to definitely get better as well. I got another audio program that, I've been playing with. I'm not sure if it's going to do me any good tonight because, Blog Talk's acting weird. It's got, something going on. I tried uploading clips. They'd show up on the board and then, I'd refresh it and then they were gone. So I don't know whether I'm going to be able to play any of those tonight or not. I'll have to see as the show goes on. I won't need that until, after guest time anyway. For those who don't know, hopefully my guest tonight, everything goes as planned, is Chris Hero, who, for those who don't know, was Cassius Ohno in the WWE and, just a huge, huge star on the indies. No more babbling. I think I have him on the line now. It's with great pleasure I welcome to the show. The WWE Universe would know him as Cassius Ohno, but the rest of the world knows him as Chris Hero. Let me see.
Ben?
Hey, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Are you guys ready to talk some wrestling?
Absolutely, Chris. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. I got back from the East Coast last night, so today is my first full day to get my errands done and prepare for the coming weekend. So it's a routine I got to get myself back into, but I'm feeling good, man.
Sure, it's good to hear. So I want to talk, you know, a little bit about the WWE stuff, and we'll kind of go backwards from there. Now, the big, you know, the rumor on the internet, you know, which, of course, there's always rumors, reasons for your release was, again, from what it was just being said, was that they were unhappy with, you know, your training regimen, or they wanted a better physique or something like that. What's the actual, you know, truths behind whatever?
Well, regarding that front, I mentioned it on a show the other night. I believe an issue in that regard wasn't necessarily conditioning. It was more cosmetic as far as, you know, how I looked in my gear and such. So it wasn't necessarily conditioning, because I can go any amount of time with any opponent, no problem whatsoever. Is more of a cosmetic body fat kind of issue. But the internet reports on that were about, man, they were about 6 months late. Like, that talk is a talk that I had with them earlier this year. So there was some truth to it, but it was a little delayed. And in regards to my release, not connected. They had acknowledged that I had gotten in much better shape, that I changed my body pretty significantly. I think my last my match with Luke Harper on NXT television, not my last match on NXT, because we have a couple more things that are going to air over the next few weeks, but I think if you look at that, I was in about the best shape I've been in since I've been under contract. So that wasn't necessarily an issue. It was more along the lines of knowing me, knowing what I had to offer, knowing what I brought to the table, and then having so many other guys down here and just kind of deciding, like, all right, we're not going to move forward, so let's think about other options as far as getting you out of here and, you know, maybe revisiting things somewhere down the line. It was amicable. It wasn't like an angry firing. I mean, I still have so many good friends and mentors and acquaintances and just across the board. It was a great experience. A lot of people have asked me if I have any regrets at that time, and absolutely not. I learned so much. I became a better wrestler physically and mentally. WWE took really good care of me.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was a while, too, where you were on such a tear in NXT. I mean, you were definitely, you know, the top of their card every week. They had you just, you know, the knockout gimmick, just tearing through everybody. And it just seemed like you were, like, the next guy to be brought up. I mean, even before the Wyatts really, you know, hit mainstream, it looked like you were the next guy. Like, when did the tide turn where they decided that it wasn't in the works?
You know, I'm not really sure. And all the reports of people getting called up to the main roster and such, it's pretty much all hearsay, because nobody really knows anything until the guy walks out on Raw and makes his debut. The whole time I was there, they made a strong effort to debut a lot of people, but it's just so many pieces have to fall in the right place, and you can never really count on anything. So more often than not, when you read a rumor that so-and-so is about to get brought up to the main roster, it's just conjecture. Don't believe it until you see it, because how many rumors have you heard over the last couple of years, and how many of them have actually come true?
Yeah, true. Now, I've always wondered this, because, you know, a guy like yourself, I mean, known all over the indies, you've been all over the world, you've clearly proven yourself up and down, but a guy going into the WWE system, you've been, you know, in the wrestling business for 15 years, they send you to training. What exactly does that mean for a guy who's been in wrestling for 15 years?
Well, I think a lot of people blow that out of proportion, because it's not like I'm training to become a wrestler. You know, that's not the focus there. I think Triple H put it best when he talked with myself and Cesaro at our tryout. It's just kind of like it's like a finishing school. It's kind of to bridge the gap. We've got, you know, we know what we have here, and we know what we want there. So it's just a matter of getting everyone acclimated to the system and what they're going to need. So granted, some guys are going to come in brand new and fresh, and they're going to need to learn how to take bumps and learn how to put matches together. But everybody's got their own different circumstances. So it's not like anything was condescending where they were teaching me how to suplex or whatever. It's just a matter of getting someone acclimated to that system. And it's just it's a whole process. It's also making sure everybody's patient, because there are so many bodies, there's so many talented people down there. You definitely have to wait your turn. And it's good for people to get used to that, because once you do get called up, that's when the real battle begins. That's when you're like, all right, well, I'm called up, but when am I going to get my TV time? What am I going to do? What are my options? So it's just a matter of getting used to what you're going to be dealing with on a day-to-day and a week-to-week basis.
Yeah. Sometime during your NXT run, you had a feud with William Regal. What was that like?
Just a pleasure and an honor. He's a guy I've been watching since he started in WCW. And then as time went on, I grew to really appreciate him as a performer and as a behind-the-scenes, not really quite sure what the word is, but he really has WWE's best interest at heart. He's also someone that I had worked with in a training aspect. I'd spent some time with him, Dave Taylor, and Fit Finlay, which would prove to be very pivotal in my career over the years. So just to be able to step in the ring with him, or, you know, whether we've got microphones or whether we got our wrestling gear on, or sit behind the commentary booth with him, it was truly, truly an honor, and it's something I'll remember the rest of my life.
You know, a lot of the indie fans were clamoring the entire time, you know, you were signed and everything. And of course, you know, went without saying, you know, Claudio up there, everyone was hoping for the Kings of Wrestling reunion and for that to be used. Was that ever entertained at all?
No, it wasn't. We were told when we were hired that it was more of an individual thing, and they like to create individual stars, and not that tag teams are on the back burner per se, but they're just not the first priority, and that's not how they like to do things. They're more likely to do a tag team of two already established stars. At least I think so. So it was never really discussed. I always assumed that at some point we're going to tag together just randomly, and then at that point we can kind of show that chemistry that we have, and then from there it'd just be like, oh wow, these guys work really well together, and it's like, of course we do. We've done this once or twice, so I always assumed that would happen, and who's to say that it won't happen somewhere down the road? You never know.
Sure. What was your favorite moments, you know, being there in the WWE system?
Well, I honestly I can't really pick a moment or two, but I would just say all of the resources that we were provided throughout my time there. From my first week, we'd have guests almost on a monthly basis, guys like Jim Ross and Goldust, or somebody like Shawn Michaels or Undertaker or Bret Hart, or these guys that would just walk into our school and just kind of sit down and chat with us. It could be somebody on the main roster currently, like a Christian or a Mark Henry, or it could be a legend from the past like Harley Race or somebody like Vader. Just the guys that we were able to interact with, and guys that were able to kind of pass down their certain take on the wrestling business. So it's definitely a lot of different things that I will take with me and always remember.
Cool. I'm going to jump around a little bit with the questions. Early on you had worked for Ian a lot, and I believe, you know, training there and Tracy Smothers and everything else. What was it like, you know, coming up with, you know, Ian and the old school, you know, hard nose type of style?
Ian was the first promoter to really give me the ball and say, hey, just go out there and do it. Not that I hadn't received opportunities before, but I had my first 30-minute match in an IWA Mid-South ring with Bull Payne at the age of 20, I think. And that, to me, just kind of changed the tide. And I was like, oh, wow, like, this is possible. I can kind of go out there and do this. And Ian's very he's very nurturing as far as young, talented wrestlers. He kind of just – he throws them out there to sink or swim when a lot of promoters kind of like to play it safe. And more often than not, it paid off. I mean, I'm in a class of guys like CM Punk, Colt Cabana, Ace Steel, BJ Whitmer. I was in that crew of guys, and then what followed shortly thereafter were the Alex Shelley and Jimmy Jacobs, or the Matt Sydal, Evan Bournes, and Deliriouses, or even a guy like Seth Rollins or Sammy Callahan. Like, he just – he saw the talent in these guys, and he said, instead of going, oh, you've got – you know, 8 to 10 minutes, you know, don't go over or I'll kill you. He just kind of like, all right, just go out there, as long as it's a good match, you're good. And that's not to say that I didn't have some awful matches, because everybody does, but he really opened that door for me and let me go out there and tear it up with guys like Punk and guys like Cabana, and also at the same time work with the guys from before, you know, guys that had come up through Memphis, the Bull Paynes, the Tracy Smothers, the Todd Mortons, those guys. And it just gives you a real variety. And to be honest, IWA Mid-South and hardcore wrestling had such a stigma attached, but you have to remember Ian also came up in ECW that was featuring Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko and the Luchador. So he was also a fan of that style. So his shows, while main-evented with blood and guts, still provided a lot of different types of wrestling.
Yeah. When I had Ian on, too, he was saying one story about, you know, you work in Punk, and at some point you guys weren't seeing eye to eye, and he said, you know, you guys have a little bit of heat. All right, you guys are up, you know, you guys are wrestling tonight. And what was your take on that?
I mean, you kind of have to see how professional guys are, because basically in this business, you're not going to get along with everybody. And sometimes you're really not going to get along with people, but at the end of the day, you've got a job. You've got a job to do, and you got to go out there and do it to the best of your abilities. And you can't let pride get too much in the way. It's okay to be proud. It's okay to have standards. But at the same time, you got to go out there and you got to get the job done. So Ian has done that before, and sometimes it is a little tricky. But, you know, you go out there and you do things to the best of your ability. And honestly, if there is a little professional animosity between two guys, as long as it's nothing too severe, it usually makes for great chemistry in the ring, where guys are just kind of laying into each other in a safe way, mind you, but it just makes for a more entertaining story on occasion.
What were your memories of all, like, the early matches you had with Punk? Because you guys had quite a run.
I would say, I think I even said this in the CM Punk WWE documentary, when we first wrestled each other, we were really excited to kind of go in there and throw down. So excited to the point that we went out and had a real stinker. So it actually took us a little while to get that chemistry in the ring. And then there was one night, I believe it was in Indianapolis, we had a singles match, and everything just kind of clicked. And then from there, we just built off of that. And next thing you know, we were wrestling without calling anything and just going in there and doing it. And the fans are with us. The IWA fans cared about both of us, so it just made for some very special matches.
Going over to Chikara, obviously, you know, you did, you know, a lot of training over there, and, you know, you worked over there a lot. Quack and Ian have to be night and day between, you know, the ways of training and stuff. What was the big, you know, how was the transition going over there and training there?
It was just different flavors, different type of fundamentals, different, you know, different techniques, definitely a different training style, but at the same time, at the end of the day, they were both promoting wrestling and wanting to put out the best product possible. So at the end of the day, it's pretty similar, actually, as far as the bottom line. But some of the techniques are definitely different, and working with Chikara is what led to me discovering more about the world of Lucha Libre, and that led to my training with Jorge Rivera, also known as Skyda, who I spent 3 years working with on a semi-regular basis, just trying to learn the fundamentals of Lucha Libre and just a lot of techniques that you don't really see these days, and that really bridged the gap for me working with Chikara.
On your style, now, I mean, when you decide you're going to be a professional wrestler and you're going to go into it, you know, where do you decide how you're going to wrestle, what moves you're going to use, what your style is actually going to be to put out there?
That's not something that I ever thought about. It's just something that kind of happened. When I started wrestling, I didn't have any type of big picture. I just wanted to go out and have matches, do moves, and I think that's what a lot of people do when they first start wrestling. It was over time that I found out what worked for me and what didn't work for me, and then you just kind of start to develop your own style, I find. And then I think you're very much a product of what you see and what you seek out. So I was watching all kinds of wrestling. So my style ended up becoming an international hybrid of a little bit of Japanese with some British mat wrestling and some lucha techniques in, and then also a brawling style with strong strikes and different types of you know, the hard hitting brawling guys really going toe to toe, kind of like a Bruiser Brody style. So I never looked at, oh, well, this is a style that I want to have. I just wanted to incorporate all these different elements. And it ended up working out pretty well. And because of my size also, I like doing a little bit of agility-based maneuvers. So this helped me stand out from the rest of the pack when I'm not the strongest guy on the show. I'm not the most athletic guy on the show. I'm not the best brawler on the show, but I can bring you a little bit of everything in my matches, and it'll make my matches different from what you're going to see on the rest of the show.
Yeah, makes sense. When you went to work for CZW, now initially you went in there, I'm not sure if it was the actual first match, but Cage of Death 4, you went in, you tagged with B-Boy, and they pretty much worked like a squash match with the Hate Club over you. And I know it caused a lot of waves, you know, with IWA guys and this and that. You know, how did you feel about it?
It was just disappointing. I wanted to return to CZW. I'd been there once, and I didn't have the best showing. And this time is Cage of Death, their huge show, one of the biggest crowds I'd worked in front of at the time, and just really wanted to go out there and tear it up. And I feel like my opponents did not really care about me. And it doesn't matter. That kind of stuff happens. And it was just a disappointment. I felt like I went up there, and it was kind of a waste. But at the same time, it built up a little animosity on the surface, that we were able to revisit at a later time and do a little bit of business off of, so that, I don't know, maybe 9 months down the road when I made my return for CZW, it was like, oh, this guy, you know, didn't want to come back to CZW or whatever. We were able to do some business out of it. And then eventually, a couple years later, I ended up representing CZW against ROH. So things like that, sometimes they have a funny way of paying off.
Right. Now, what was it like working for Zandig? Because obviously, I mean, to put you in a match like that, I guess initially he didn't feel that highly of you, and, you know, he must have been impressed by some stuff you were doing, and, you know, his tune changed.
Well, I won't say that he didn't think highly of me, because the match I was in was a tag title match, I think it was, and I was teaming with B-Boy, so it was kind of like an indie dream match, if you will, from 2002.
Sure.
But it's just the way the match went down that was just kind of the shits. As far as working with Zandig, to be honest, I didn't have a whole lot of interaction with him because by that time, Mike Burns was working for CZW and helping arrange things. So I usually dealt with Burns. You know, when I did speak with Zandig, he's cordial. Never really had any bad incidents with him. I just didn't deal with him all that much.
All right. Because I know he did say on his one shoot interview that, like, he knew, you know, using you in the high, you know, high parts of the card and the title and this and that, it was good for business because the fans liked you, but he just didn't get it. Was that
sure.
the feeling when you were there?
Sure. You know what? That's been the story of Chris Hero, to be honest. People really love me, and some people just don't get it. And I'm not for everyone to get. I've been on this thing lately where pro wrestling is art. Art is opinion. Art is subjective. So if you don't like my art, cool. Check out some other art. You know, there's plenty of art out there. So there's, I mean, how many times have, as a friend of yours said, man, you really got to check out this album, and they love it, and then you put it on, and you're just bored. You're just not entertained.
Yeah.
So I can't be disappointed or offended when somebody doesn't like my art. That's just the way it is. And to be honest, it's actually a great joy when somebody is like, hey, man, I used to think you sucked, but now you're cool. I get it now. So I can either win some people over or, you know, some people just aren't ever going to get it. And a lot of promoters didn't really get it. It took me a while to break through, and whether it was to get into Ring of Honor or to get into Japan or get into WWE, like there's a lot of opinions I had to change. And that's not going to stop. That's all. That's going to be a consistent. And I take pride in what I do, and I know that sooner or later, if people watch enough of me, they're going to see something that they like, whether it's through my technique or through who I am or just the fact that I love what I do, and I think it exudes when I'm in the ring performing. I think you can tell, like, this guy's having a hell of a time.
Yeah. I know on, you know, one of your shoot interviews, you had a pretty much expressed a strong dislike for Justice Payne. What was your overall thoughts on him?
Yeah, I'm not going to waste any time talking about that schlub. He wrestled like once a month, and he thought he was awesome, and he really wasn't. And he wasn't, from what I know and from his interaction with friends of mine, he wasn't a good person either. So I don't know. People like that, that only have their own interests at heart, just don't really deserve time of day. So he's just, right. He was rot. That's it.
There was talk at some point in time where they were leading to, or they were going to do a match with you and Zandig. Was that something that was going to happen? What happened?
I was hoping for it. I was doing a lot of different things to taunt old John Zandig, but it never quite panned out, unfortunately. I don't know if that was because he didn't want to do it or if he just didn't work my style or whatever, but like I think it would have been fun. I think the fans would have really had a good time.
Yeah. Speaking of the Ring of Honor, and like you said, a long time to get in there and stuff like that. Now, I was, you know, regularly attending CZW, and, you know, I'd watch a lot of Ring of Honor stuff too. To me, you had always, and I was, you know, extremely, extremely happy to see that you, you know, came and spent the time that you did in CZW, but it always struck me as weird that Ring of Honor didn't pick you up first because you just seemed so perfect for exactly what they were doing. And, you know, they had a little more appreciation for the technical style and that type of thing. I mean, do you know what it was that kept them from jumping on you?
I think they just felt that at the time they had their guys, and that I was just a, you know, like another Midwest guy and didn't necessarily see anything special in what I brought to the table. But I also think it had to do with the gear that I wore. Like, I was wearing the Chris Hero t-shirt and the baggy pants, and it just it was a certain look that Ring of Honor was not interested at the time. So eventually I was able to catch their eye, and we did some pretty good business together, thankfully. And I ended up, I ended up working there pretty consistently over a five-year basis.
Yeah. You know, you finally got your run in there and stuff. Ring of Honor, you know, has their, you know, wall in between them and a lot of other companies where they do the indie contract. Now, you're coming back to the indies now. You know, you seem to be hitting those other companies rather than Ring of Honor. Is that something you're going to go back into in the future, or are you just trying to stay more of an independent?
Right now, I'm weighing all my options. There's nobody that I'm just going to say no to on principle, whether it's ROH or TNA or whatever. I'm just going to see what works best for me. And at that moment, I'm not interested in signing on any kind of dotted line. I'm just getting out there and doing my thing. And, you know, maybe I'll turn up at Ring of Honor. Maybe I'll turn up at TNA. But if I do, it'll be because I think it's what's best for me and what's best for my career.
Sure. Now, you were there in Japan at the show that Masala died. What was your experience?
It was a very difficult one, of course, and very, very surreal, especially being in a foreign country and not speaking the language clearly and just trying to wrap your head around everything that happened. And you take yourself out of the situation, and you kind of just look at yourself watching everything else as it's going on and just trying to think about where things are going to go from here. It was definitely very surreal, and I can think back to that time and remember some things very clearly and very vividly. I will say that with the admiration I had for Mitsuharu Misawa and his as a performer, as a company president, just as a person and from my dealings with him, I'll say that I think I was able to cope better with it, having been there and having seen it firsthand. It just made it a little bit more cathartic, being able to go to the services and being able to experience it with, my friends and coworkers. He is definitely an inspirational figure, and somebody that I still think about quite a bit. I'm fortunate to have been able to work so much for his company.
Now, did you work him when you were over there?
I was able to wrestle Misawa probably about 10 times. There were no one-on-one matches, but there were a lot of tags and a lot of six-man tags. And that's just kind of the way the Noah shows would break down. And I don't think anything really made it safe, because we did a lot of house shows or a lot of town shows here or there. And I wasn't of the stature at that point to where I would be in a featured match with Misawa. So it wasn't until I had been Noah a bit longer that I started getting featured in main events and semi-main events.
Right. Yeah, I seem to remember, like an internet picture or something with you in the same ring as him at some point when you're in Japan.
Yeah.
Like, wow, that's just awesome.
I was definitely able to square off with him and wrestle around a little bit. He, of course, elbowed my face off a couple different times, so I was able to spend some time in the ring with him.
Yeah, it was definitely awesome, to see you over there with him. It's unbelievably unfortunate. And, I mean, just as a wrestling fan overall, to hear that, he had actually died in the ring was just, really, really shocking and terrible. I can only imagine how it was there live.
But, yeah, it's just very, very sad, very tragic. But at the same time, I count myself fortunate having been able to work with him, work for him, and he's left hours upon hours upon hours of footage for us to watch and enjoy and admire. So you can't really look back with too much sadness.
Sure. You had your long-running feud with Eddie Kingston, and it's another one of those, like you said, I guess a little bit of a dislike, but a professionalism in the ring that it really works. The chemistry is unbelievable between the two of you. What's your, thoughts on that?
From what I always hear, because we still have a lot of mutual friends, he's still got a bone to pick. He's still, dealing with a lot of anger. And I think that just says more about his inability to cope with certain situations, because I don't really look back on the situation with any anger. It's more of a disappointment, because if you've ever seen Kingston wrestle, or if you've ever seen him on the microphone, know what kind of talent he has, and if he was ever able to harness that talent and mature and grow up and use it for good, he'd be a superstar. Who knows what he'd be capable of? But when you just kind of see the path his career has taken and how he's kind of floundered and poor decisions have kind of overrided his abilities, and I think it's a letdown. It's a letdown to his peers, and I think it's a letdown to the fans, because they love watching him. They love hearing him, and he could be doing it on such a higher level. But yeah, he hasn't been able to, and from somebody that spent a lot of time with him professionally and personally at one point in time, I'm just, you know, kind of sad that he wasn't able to realize that potential.
Sure. Now, it always seemed too like, you know, you guys worked very well together, and, you know, obviously been able to get in some real physical matches, but as you say, the anger was more on his side. He was the one that didn't like you more so than the other way around, right?
Sure. And I mean, I'm able to look back on things with a little bit of clarity. You know, I'm 15 years in wrestling now, and I try not to hold on to any kind of anger, because it's really not worth it. You just take things and move forward, and everybody makes mistakes. I've made more than a lot. So it's just a matter of taking those situations and being okay with the way things have happened and just moving forward and trying to make better decisions the next go around.
Sure. What was your opinion on the whole thing with Blackjack, where he kind of blamed you for him not being in the business anymore and whatnot?
That's just opinion. That's what he thinks. But Blackjack is somebody that was incredibly talented, and I think he just got burnt out with wrestling. He was just kind of overworked. I think he was doing a lot of shows that he didn't really want to do, and he ended up with a bit of a knee injury. I don't really even remember how serious it was, but he decided to take a little time off, and a little time off ended up turning into not ever wrestling again, which was a shame, because he had a great deal of potential. But from what I understand now, he's got a family and he's doing pretty well. We have some mutual friends, and he's somebody that I don't speak with on a regular basis, but when we do chat every now and again, it's nice to hear from him.
Now, while you were away at the, you know, WWE and everything, there are a lot of guys that have, you know, stepped up quite a bit and, you know, kind of hit the scene pretty heavy since you've been gone. Who are some of those guys that you're looking forward to working?
Man, there were a lot of talented guys that I spent a lot of time with over the last couple of years. And I was able to share ring time with a lot of the NXT superstars, guys like Neville and Sami Zayn and Tyler Breeze and Xavier Woods, and just really, really excited for them to turn it on and take it to the next level. But when it comes to guys out there on the indie scene, man, there's so many that I'm looking forward to getting in the ring with, guys that I have wrestled years prior. And now they've kind of grown up a little bit, guys that have kind of fleshed out their character a little bit more. They've kind of grown up. They have a little bit of facial hair now, some guys like Adam Cole or somebody like a Chuck Taylor, who I've been on shows with, you know, 7-8 years, but I've yet to have like a real singles match with. You look up and down like a PWG show, and man, half of those guys, I can't wait to wrestle, whether it's an ACH or an AR Fox, who I hopefully will be standing in the ring with at Evolve sometime in the future, or somebody like Drake Younger, who I've known since he was a 15-year-old kid in the front row at shows in Indianapolis, to now he's top dog. You know, he's traveling the world and doing his thing. These are guys that I cannot wait to spend time with. I am getting ready to pass through an area where service is a little patchy, so I just want to give you a heads up in case we get cut off.
All right. Yeah, I know a lot of guys, you know, dying. Drake definitely is begging people to book, you know, him against you. And UHA Nation is another guy.
For sure, for sure. UHA, he looks incredible, man, and the things he's capable of, awesome. Those two things usually don't match up. You know, somebody that looks that good and is that athletic. So definitely interested to see what he brings to the table one-on-one.
Sure. Who have been some of your actual favorite matches? I mean, if you had to put down, you've worked so many people in different countries and everything else. Like, who would be maybe your top three?
I would say over the last couple years, some of my favorite guys to wrestle I enjoy wrestling Kenta. We had a match on HDNet for Ring of Honor that I enjoyed. We had a main event for – no, it wasn't even the main event. It was a semi-main event for WXW in Germany that was awesome. It was semi-main event because Claudio Castagnoli was in the main event challenging for the GHC title against Takeshi Sugira. Okira Tozawa is another match that was just it was just lightning in a bottle. To step in there with him, and I'd seen him wrestle before, and I knew what he was capable of, but I didn't realize that we would hit it off quite that well in the ring. It was just a really special moment, so hopefully our paths cross again. Kenny Omega is another guy that I enjoyed wrestling, but only got to wrestle a couple times. He's somebody I'm hoping to throw down with. Alex Shelley's a guy I want to wrestle again, a guy I've known since he was building rings, putting rings together on shows in Michigan. Also, just series of matches. You look back at my career and you see Punk, you see Eric Cannon, you see Trick Davis, who I'm wrestling again for IWA Mid-South coming up very soon. You see guys like Human Tornado, just another guy. So I'm excited to throw down.
You know, just in case it does cut out or whatever, I definitely, before you got off, I wanted you to possibly cut a promo for me if you can. You know, something, you know, with Yakuza Kick Radio involved in it and your name and everything. There, Chris? Oh, wow. The exact time I got cut off. Let me see. Yeah, hopefully I'll call back in. If not, we'll see what happens there. All right. Yeah, he must have definitely got cut off. Well, let's see if he calls back. Give it a minute. Mish is telling me it's a drop, not a promo. Call it what you want. So, all right. Well, I'm not sure if he's going to call back, but I figure, you know what? I'll take this time. I guess I'll take my break now. And, you know, if he comes back, I'll cut off the song. If not, song's over, I'll come back, talk some football, you know, cover some stuff for Chris. So, few more things to ask him, but otherwise yeah, I'll just play this track and then like I said, I'll either cut it off if he comes back or come back, talk about some football or something. All right. Let me see who's on the line here.
Hey, what's going on? It's J-Cat. It's Mish.
Hey, what's going on, Mish?
Not much, man. Just figured I'd call in. I thought I could catch Chris Hero for a minute and
boys. You lost connection, so
no doubt. Right.
But,
it was a good interview, how's it going? So far, you guys. you definitely covered a lot of the bases with him, you know?
Yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, he's, you know, definitely a talker, so he definitely knows how to cover ground pretty quick. And, yeah, the majority of what I was wanting to ask him, I got out there. So, you know, hopefully have him back on in the future if he can't, you know, come back in tonight.
Yeah, no, for sure. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, I was definitely happy to have him on. You know, he's a good dude and amazingly talented. So, I mean, you know, to see him back on the indies, he's going to make a huge impact. He really is.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I mean, that was definitely one of the questions I wanted to ask. Is I wonder if he could have – I wonder if he's a little disappointed. Like, I don't know how I would have brought it out directly, but you wonder if the guy's a little disappointed not being able to get the chance to show the world – you know, the magic that he could have had with guys like Claudio, guys like Punk, guys like, you know, Daniel Bryan. You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys that he's worked with before and a lot of guys that he could have had a lot of great matches with, you know, in the future. And, I mean, I don't know. You wonder.
Of course, yeah. And, you know, us indie fans are definitely always the first ones to, you know, dream match it up and really try to, you know, put it all out there. We want this, we want that. Well, you know, Vince doesn't really give a shit what we want, so.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But, I mean, you wonder what he thinks. You know, I'm not right. I know we already all have a good generalization of what the corporation expects.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of wondering what he thought. Like, when he got in there, when Chris Hero actually got in there, I mean, what was, like, the dream? What was the moment that he turned around and said, okay, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. This would be fucking awesome. Fans would love this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I guess you got to just go with the road that they give you. I mean, he had a great attitude on it. If you've ever read, like, his whole thing that he posted when he got released and stuff, he's just really, you know, thankful for everything they gave him and wasn't trying to criticize anything one way or another. So, you got to love the guy having a good attitude.
Back?
Yeah. Yeah, I got to say so, you know, considering everything he's saying, and especially with, you know, the rumor of it being all about his physique really not being the case. I mean, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's good, though. I mean, I remember that – see, and that was another thing, too, is when he first got in there, didn't he have, like, that enzyme issue or whatever when he first got hired in?
I'm not really sure. I didn't really hear much about that.
Yeah, I didn't know too much details on it, but there was some sort of enzyme that when he was first, I guess you want to say, hired or drafted or whatever it was into WWE, when he was going through the physical, he had some sort of an enzyme that was screwing him up. And I was always kind of curious because there was never really any clarity on that, like what kind of enzyme was it? Is it something like, you know, something that fans should worry about him for, or you know what I mean? Or was it just something like just a spotch on the blood record, you know?
Yeah, I really never heard anything about that. I heard the whole Nigel McGuinness business, but I never heard anything about Hero.
Well, Nigel McGuinness also turned out to be hepatitis, right?
Right, yeah. So,
yeah, now it's a little bit more than a spotch.
Right.
So, yeah. No, I was just curious. I mean, there was definitely a lot of good stuff in there, though, and I wanted to thank you for the good interview, Jay.
Oh, not a problem, man. I'm glad to have done it, you know.
All right, man.
So,
All right, man. You have a good one, brother.
All right, man. Thanks, Mish. All right. So, yeah, there's Mish. I'm going to go back, play this track, and then, come back and then, you know, talk some football and whatever else.
Let's do this one for the street.
You get what I'm talking about? The money's that you don't need to wear a jacket. Superstar J.
I'm beginning to feel like a black god. God's life for divine is what it stands for. Now who thinks their balls are equal to Mac Charles? I think you're way overrated. Your shit ain't that hard. But for me to run up with them shooters to be a bad team, I'm from the back blocks where they clap rockets. I'm the king of New York and they pet blocking. Got a Mac cocked in those slap box. The head big in a bigger coffin. Ever since they
10 more shells, critical, pillar forfeit, pillar forfeit. Ziggity, 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 ziplock, you don't really want to slip into a gun's path. It's a tragedy, that's back with strap in the back of the Cadillac, black click, clack, 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 blast in the Mac, naturally fat, bang minds, I present the critical rap attack. What? Well, I'm mastering that, and it's really fatal. I rock your motherfucking cradle, I take a nap, you'll put your maggots, and you have to relax. But in real life, it was high chronic, I was puffing, bag after bag, that's a fag.
What?
How could he not go? All I do is shoot Teflons, 40 caliber gas rappers are bragging enough, I'm serious, but he's actually trash. He grabbed me, I cracked his crash. Fill a rap for your majesty, I create so rapidly fast.
Feel like a black god. God cipher divine is what it stands for. Now who think they fall the equal to match odds? I'm so underrated, I am the black god.
Come on, everybody wanna be in the priest and they snitching. It's sad to see the way rats are. Come move with the movement, drop jewels and remove the confusion. Everybody wanna use an illusion. Spit a verse from the bad boy, did nothing but use and abuse. Ambition abuse, MCs be faking, it's proven. I'm cruising, cause I'm shooting, jumping the vehicle in Boston now. We ride it enough to they show up, show enough, redefine the definition of the words. Be free, these suckers telling us to fucking lock in.
What?
Load all them bags, even though I fought with the words, I'm cursed with all the blame. Homie, all the blame, I begin, made me wanna go just shit on you lames. Ain't toilet trained, you maggots, all the same. Till I cock and pop the thing, straight aiming, ain't hitting you off a mistake. AK, little boy, more boy than Cameron and Santana when they made, oh boy. Put a stamp on it when a dope fiend died from it, everybody say he got the best of the boy. Shoot like an AK, that boy don't play remix, AK. Your favorite flow from the cradle to the grave, little boy. You playing, little boy? Pray, little boy. I'm from Brooklyn, around the way, little boy. I'ma murk you, turn around and laugh, never ask nobody to grip stay in your place, little boy. Facing me, boy, your rap style is replaceable. I always win the race, little boy.
I'm forgiven to feel like a black god.
Black god.
God, cipher divine is what it stands for.
Stands for.
Now who think they bars are equal to mad y'all?
Mad y'all.
The way I'm riding on this track, call me Jaguar.
Man, when the rails involve your man, you gripped on and clapped on.
See,
you don't smoke what I be. No homie, it's highly potent. Leave your whole body broken. Your casket is finally closing. And I do not be choking. When I toss the lead straight out the pencil with these rhymes, I wrote them. You gon' need ibuprofen. I was designed to school you. These rappers be trying to fool you. I'm controlling it. Pinch yourself in the head and cry with boo-hoo. It's P. I'd rather die than salute you. My knowledge is crucial. If I don't capitalize, I wasn't suitable for all of these bloods like a guy. So I wanna make sure to wear the written rap. My lyrics will school you and bust rhymes to beat these beats like Nick. Drum lines, everybody talking about NY. When they diss our city, you was tongue-tied. Rappers are phony, mad at me cause I run mine. I don't care where you from, I'm from the style. Still king of the underground, so I still rap like I'm on my Pimp C and bun grind. From sunrise to sunrise, fuck sometimes. Me, Ortiz, and a couple of other guys were the only ones who spoke from the mind. Injured, you hit that tough guy in the head. Oh, I'm back in the ratchet, empty, run or die. Shot him like the movie Life when he ran across that gun line. Put it all in the rhyme, they don't understand a lesson. I'm bombing the dope line. Pat from around the way, he say, she say, I don't got the same buzz, but I'm more than sick with the oral. Your sense is formal, fucking with that boy, but his album bore you, and I don't know what the fuck. You run for the shots, just gonna touch you when you're fucking talk, don't say because you fuck being called you. And I just bought a new AK from a shooter just to come and shoot you, like when Pat Boots made Big Sean mad. Pat said he like a fag, I'm Kanye ass, never shot back cause he had no ammo. Man, oh man, Pat told that boy, let's arrest you, and he ate your man too. So that boy went straight to the radio station the very next week. Hey, Pap, it's comical. Critics, I'ma blast you. I use the knowledge with speed, micro machine. Some of you was doing nothing. You a sucker. I beat you. I'm fucking at your crew. And I will ruin you. You. I'm renovating. And I'm in a rest. So everything I say is articulating. To the thing you hit the funeral. Regulating, rolling. Never speculating. Time to get the motherfucking glory. All the imitators, they might say generating. And I know the figures. I forever figure. Wanna see your artist take my head up. They be hella hating. Cause I know the way they get a book. We made it. Put a nickel play to use it. You just hesitate to use it. Oh, he ain't the real king. That's what they say when they be stuck in that illusion. Kick rocks, your album flip flop. Your trash wasn't telling you a true bitch. Grip lock, cock back, lick shot. They be drops that you never could they prove it. I don't know how to make balls like that. That boy just hurts the boo. Let me know when you got the earth to move. We'll put you in the hearse when they squirt through the groove. Thirsty, I'm in the murky, you twerking, dude. Merciless, you worthless, and worthless too. Prove that if you can fathom right from wrong, you can master life's purpose too. Oh, you dummy, real funny. But look at the path I laid you, steal from me. Pulling my wealth, you still bummy. Don't lie to yourself with them hateful rules. Elevate your mind, fool, cause I still study, I'm gully. And when I speak my tongue, I just spit in your face and say fuck you. Punk, you hating and I'm so fucking real. I'm launching a longie, blaming the industry, kill that noise. Bush ruined the country. But straight ahead is something that's getting ugly for money. Soldiers fight with rebels and here's what it's becoming. Catastrophe obliviates our living space. It is a state of elimination. Full of hate from the past and disgrace of a generation. All get pathetic, save liberation. But they plan is to kill a nation.
Plan is to kill a nation.
But fuck it, you afraid of the gimmicks? Blaze is affecting. But if I can't shatter their image, how the fuck am I supposed to face all the racists? Don't debate that it's hating, cause I'm able to straight take the full train of Bowling Green in the race while they wage.
king. Peace to the gods, 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 gods.
There you go, Pap's nasty. Let me see if I can reload this page and see if I still have these clips that I put up. If not, it's fine. Do it next week. Next Wednesday, I definitely am going to review the CZW Night of Infamy show. Oh, cool. I actually do have that. So, yeah, I'm going to go over that show next week, like I said. With the computer being fixed, now I could actually watch it. And then I'll review it next week. You know, we still got a little time before Cage of Death. So, yeah, I figure why try to jam it all into one show. I'll definitely do that next week. But another thing I wanted to ask Chris about before he got off was his upcoming dates, including the IWA Mid-South has a show coming up on December 6th. And main event, they got Matt Tremont, Elkview Adam, Corporal Robinson, and Ox Harley. Matt Tremont fresh off winning the Carnage Cup. And, you know, they're in the main event, Four Corners of Pain. Then you have Chris Hero making his return to IWA Mid-South up against Trick Davis. You got Ricochet and Jonathan Gresham. I mean, those two in the ring, I mean, they're going to tear it up. You know, and Chris, I mean, he had tons of matches with Trick Davis back in the day. So, you know, this is going to be a, you know, really good match. You got a First Blood match of Jimmy Jacobs and Reed Bentley. They've also said that Reed Bentley's been using Hero's music while he was gone, so that could turn into something, too. Todd Morton versus Chris Hamrick in a grudge match. And you got Drake Younger against Christian Rose. So, you know, solid card. Definitely want to check that out. If you're in the area, you know, Indiana, it's in Clarksville, Indiana. Nine matches on the card. You could check that out. You can go IWA's Facebook page, get your tickets over there, and hit them up. Definitely check it out. And I'm sure it'll be on DVD, you know, shortly after. So if you're not in that area, you can hit them up afterwards, get that DVD. So check them out. Cage of Death, he's going to be going in and challenging Drew Gulak for the CZW World Heavyweight title. So I'm definitely, you know, I'm very into seeing that. I definitely want to see what he's going to do. Drew's had a really, really good title reign. I was, you know, initially skeptical of it, and not blindly skeptical. I was completely up for him having a great title run if he did, well, pretty much exactly what he's doing now. So I got nothing bad to say about it. You know, I worried that because Drew has the ability to work many different styles, and, you know, a lot of times he works that slow-paced, technical style that can, you know, in some fans' eyes, drag on a little bit. And it would have you'd have your fans who chant boring and this and that if they're not into it. You don't want that on the main event. At a CZW show, for, you know, it's not going to go over well. But, I mean, Drew has been doing nothing short of just busting his ass all over the main events. And he's just had a great, great title run. To go up against, you know, Chris Hero coming back to the Independence and, you know, returning to CZW, former world champion, and, you know, challenge him for the world title at the biggest CZW show, Cage of Death. I mean, that's big, big shit. So, like I said, I'm going to, you know, review that whole CZW show next week. Actually, play for you an intro I made for my CZW talk. I should have did it before I even mentioned Cage of Death, but here's my new intro for CZW.
DJ's not Zandig.
CZW, laying the law once again. Forever CZW, I'm for not dead, dead, out of here.
Because in CZW, we do things how we do it in the real world. Like all you.
Well, ain't that a motherfucker?
Yes, I like that. Like I said, I'm playing around with the audio thing a little bit. I think it should definitely add something to the show, you know, a little more content, and definitely playing around, having a good time with this new program, so should be big. Another thing, I think Hero's going over and wrestling in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, too. Let me see.
completely unprepared for even mentioning that, which is very strange. Yeah, All-Star Weekend, he's going to be out there, and he's actually challenging Adam Cole for the Guerrilla World title. So that's going to be awesome. And then night two, he'll either be up against Johnny Gargano if he wins the title, or he'll be up against ACH if he loses. So either way, I mean, you know, All-Star Weekend, just banging shows. And when it comes down to it, I mean, PWG has just been putting on – PGW, honestly. PWG is just putting on fantastic shows. They have been for quite some time now, and yeah, it's not going to be any different. As we get closer to it, you know, I'll talk more about that card. But that's December 20th and 21st, so we got quite some time before that. One thing I want to do, I'm going to do a little weekly segment. It's a little mini segment. It's not going to take long. You know, a little minute, not even a minute and a half. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to deem someone jerk off of the week every week. This is the new thing I'm going to do. And it'll mostly be in the realm of the entertainment, in the world of entertainment. So without further ado, I give you jerk off of the week.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk off.
This week's jerk off is Owen Wilson. Now, I sometimes on Sundays will, you know, wake up and there's something on my TV. And rather than finding my remote, it's on my TV. And it's sometimes it's like a half hour, 45 minutes of something that I would never, ever watch. And this past Sunday, I happened to be stuck watching You, Me, and Dupree. Owen Wilson is one of the most fucking horrendous people to look at. I mean, this fucking guy, he's got a nose that looks like people have been punching him in his face his entire life. He's got his fucking, he keeps pouting his lips like all these chicks on Facebook and EC Negro on Facebook. This fucking guy, like, I don't even understand how he's an actor. He's a horrendous looking dude. He keeps trying to fucking make smoochy lips at the fucking camera. He's just fucking horrendous. I hope I never ever have to watch another movie with Owen Wilson in it. So Owen Wilson is the jerk off of the week. There you go. I think I actually have Chris back on. Chris.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, I lost you before,
cool.
So cool.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, you got me for another 10 minutes or so. Let's finish this up on a good note, man.
Cool. I wanted to get you to do a drop for me before, you know, I did get you off tonight.
Sure.
Know. So, good. Put your own spin on it, do, you know, whatever you want.
Okay. You want me to do the drop right now? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And then.
Okay, cool. Tell me the full name of your show and everything.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Just that's all it is? Okay.
Yep, Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm J-Cat.
All right, here you go. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your hero, Chris Hero, and you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Awesome. I wanted to talk about your upcoming dates a little bit. You got IWA Mid-South coming up, and you're up against Trick Davis.
That is true. It's actually been 5 long years since I've wrestled Trick Davis in a match. It's pretty crazy to think that time's flown by quite like that. But Trick is a guy I've known over a decade now. It's kind of crazy, but he's I've seen him grow up right before my eyes, man. And he started out just as this little dude in IWA, and he caught everybody's eye because he was a guy that could really, really take a beating. And then it wasn't too long before he was dishing out beatings of his own. So he's somebody that I had good in-ring chemistry with, and we really just beat the hell out of each other, whether it was in Highland or Midlothian or wherever. He's somebody I always liked wrestling, and I think our matches always brought something different to the table. Now, as far as Chris Hero versus Trick Davis in 2013/2014, it's going to be completely different. just as far as my style's progressed, and he's just grown up. He's a grown-ass man now. So I'm really excited to step into the ring with him. And I don't know, man, are we gonna chat it down our throats, or are we gonna put on a mat clinic, you know, with hold, counter hold, et cetera, et cetera. So it's gonna be interesting to see how things unfold, and will be interesting to see what kind of attitude he brings to this match.
Absolutely. There's also been word that Reed Bentley's been using your music since you've been gone. So
Sometimes when guys can't get over, they use something that's already over. So I mean, right. That's the history of this business, right? I mean, I use a rolling elbow because I wanted to pay homage to Misawa and was eventually gifted the rolling elbow by them. Mr. Bentley just kind of, you know, trying to get a little cheap heat on his own. So that might be a bridge that we'll have to cross somewhere down the road. So if I were Reed Bentley, I wouldn't be too excited to see Chris Hero.
Sure. Then also coming up, you're going to be at Cage of Death and facing off against Drew Gulak for his pretty newly won CZW World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, Drew Gulak is a guy I used to train when mm-hmm. I was one of the head trainers at the CZW/Chikara Wrestling School. And just in the last couple months, his stuff has progressed so strongly that he's somebody I'm really excited to wrestle, both from a wrestling standpoint and from a man standpoint. I'm curious to see how Drew Gulak's grown up as a man. And at that Philly crowd and in Cage of Death, their biggest show of the year, I'm walking into something really special, and I'm excited to do so.
Sure. And also, you have PWG coming up. You had mentioned Adam Cole. You're going to go and challenge him for his world title over in PWG.
Go ahead, the other match.
Yeah, followed by a next match. Well, you'll either be defending your newly won title up against Johnny Gargano, or you'll be facing ACH, which was another guy that, you know, you did want to face.
For sure. It looks like I got all these title matches coming up, and it would be nice to step into these companies and just prove my dominance immediately. So that's definitely what my sights are set on right now. So, Adam Cole is another person. It's a similar theme with me stepping in the ring with a lot of these guys. I was only gone 21 months, but at the same time, a lot can happen in a little less than 2 years. And whether it's Adam Cole or Gargano or ACH, all three of those would be completely different matches. So it's exciting from a wrestling standpoint, for me as a wrestling fan, to see how my style is going to mesh with these guys and what kind of stuff we're going to bring to the table. So whatever matches end up happening, I'm equally excited to take part in all of them.
All right. I had a guy message me before, a friend of the show, and he wanted to know, you know, what you thought the one thing you learned from WWE was.
The one thing I've learned, I can't really put my finger on any one quantifiable thing. I just know the emphasis is making a connection with the crowd, getting people to invest in you, whether it's financially or emotionally. It's not like that was brand new knowledge or anything. It's not like something that I didn't know, but it's something that I witnessed firsthand so frequently that you can do all the moves in the world. You can have some fantastic abilities and techniques, and that's good. But at the end of the day, a lot of people have a lot of good moves. So what is out there to separate them from one another? And that's the personalities. That's who the performer is a person. So the more people that you can get to connect with you, it's the better it's going to be. The better reaction your matches are going to have, the louder the fans are going to get. So just getting my release and taking on the indie scene again has just proven that I had such a strong connection with so many people, and I'm excited to see everybody face-to-face. I'm excited to perform in front of everybody. And just this past weekend for PWS and for Dragon Gate USA, it just, man, it did my heart so good just to be able to talk to these fans face-to-face and to look out through those ropes and see everybody going crazy. It's just a really, really awesome feeling, and it just reaffirms why I do what I do. And I can't wait to venture back into these familiar territories and do everything all over again.
All right. What is your overall goal, too, you know, beyond that? Are you trying to more or less do everything you can, touch all bases, you know, and then try to head back towards the WWE? Or?
Well, that's something that's certainly not out of the question. But I think first and foremost, I need to reestablish my dominance. And what I mean is, yeah, there's a lot of young guys out there. There's a lot of very talented people that are capable of things I'm not capable of, now or ever, that is. But I can't just rely on the nostalgia pop, because that's eventually going to fade. I can't just step into these places as the Chris Hero of yesterday and just expect that to be that. I need to give it everything I have and show these people, show the people that do know me why they've invested in me, and show the people that don't know me why everybody's going crazy. So reestablish my dominance both in the ring and as a performer. That's number one. And number two is I have to grow. I have to evolve. I have to mature as a performer and as a personality. And I don't know what that means specifically, but I just know that I've got to take things to another level. If you've looked at my career from day one, I've underwent so many different transitions, each one just slightly different than the one prior, and I'm excited to take things on a new journey. And I'm so proud to be doing this, and I'm so pleased that especially with the way social media is now, with whether it's Twitter or just live interaction, it shows everybody can interact directly with me and tell me how they feel about things, and it feels good that so many people are already following me, and so many people that will continue to follow me on this journey as I reestablish my dominance and I evolve as a person, as a performer, as a personality.
Now I know you're doing a seminar for IWA over there. Are there any other training, you know, situations that you're going to be in soon? Because I know, you know, as much as you've learned everywhere you've gone, it's an excellent thing for you to be available to, you know, teach others what you've learned.
Yeah, I've actually got I got one this weekend in North Carolina for PWX. I'm working on setting up one for CZW when I'm out there for Cage of Death. I may have one in Toronto for Smash Wrestling, where I'm actually going to be wrestling Lance Storm, which will be an incredible honor. We've done battle before, but it'll be nice to step in the ring with him again. As for these seminars, I don't have anything in mind just yet. I like to play things by ear. I like to see what the talent level of talent and experience level is of the guys and girls I'm working with. And that's always something I've always enjoyed. I always like spending time with young wrestlers and experienced wrestlers, and just you just kind of vibe off of everything, and it's just kind of like a freestyle, free-flowing exchange of knowledge. Because I still, every day, it's as cliched as it may be, every day I still learn. I'm still working on taking things to another level. So I'm really excited to see all these people that are coming out to my seminars, you know, from North Carolina to Toronto to IWA Mid-South to Philly, Midwest for Dreamwave, I've got one. So I just can't wait to step in the ring with the future of professional wrestling.
That's awesome. One last thing. Do you think if you did have the opportunity to showcase what you can do with a Claudio, with a Punk, with a Danielson, do you think it would have changed anything as far as, you know, your continued employment in WWE?
I don't. That's not something I've really put a lot of thought into, but I don't really think so. I think things just kind of I think things played out the way they did, and I think that's what was going to happen. So I don't think there was any one thing or one match or one interaction that could have changed things. So I'm just, you know, I'm just focused on taking what I've been given here and moving in a completely different direction, moving, you know, putting 100% into everything that I have. And, you know, like I said, I left amicably. Do I want to be back? You know, WrestleMania main event sounds pretty good, if you ask me. And
sure.
Why would I settle for anything less? So,
right.
It'll be interesting to see where how things unfold for me in the future.
All right. You know, any plugs or dates or anything else you want to put out there?
Hit up my website if you haven't already. It's thechrishero.com or thechrishero.chrishero or @chrishero_merch. I'm getting back on the merch bandwagon, trying to get some stuff taken care of. I've got a site up over at Pro Wrestling Tees where you can pick out a couple of my T-shirts. Just stay tuned. I'm going to try to get some stuff on YouTube. I'm going to try to keep at it on Twitter, and just I'll be informing everybody in my schedule how things unfold.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on. I really, really appreciate it. Hope to have you back on in the future, too.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to getting that interview and uploading it myself.
Awesome. Thanks again,
all
man.
Right,
have
you.
A good night.
You too. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. All right, there you go. It was Chris Hero coming back to finish the interview we started. And, you know, there was just those couple more things I wanted to get in there, and I'm really glad I got the opportunity to do so. So, I mean, that's just good stuff. As I was saying about, I just got finished doing my jerk off of the week clip. So that's in the books. I also have NFL stuff to talk about. So I'm going to do that. Let me play my other Papoose song. This one's not quite as long as the last one. So I'll play this, and then I'll come back with the NFL thing, because I got to pull that up on my thing.
K Slay, what up? Rest in peace,
Slay.
Hey, yo, Slay, sometimes it's good to go to
this
war.
Is my shit right
cause it helps
here,
to get rid of the bad blood.
Bad blood.
You know what I'm talking about? I feel like I was reborn again on these niggas, man.
Papoose.
The streets is mine.
Hoodie sheets.
Long live Thugger. Yo. If you fuck with niggas I don't fuck with, I don't fuck with you. Now it's on between us. What you wanna do?
What?
I got beef with niggas who be acting like they fly. If I ever catch them slipping, I'ma shoot them to the sky. When you club every night, you see the same bitches in the same outfits. The same frontin' niggas.
Damn.
Weed make me paranoid, homie, true that. See a car pulling up, I be like, who that? If you hang with a nigga just because he getting money, that's what a bitch do. I find it kinda funny.
What?
If his money slow down, you get thirsty and split. Bitches stay loyal, man, that mean you worse than a bitch.
From
Brooklyn just like Biggie, New Yiddy, yeah, that's my city.
Yeah.
Used to call my DJ Dizzy Desi from Harlem like Diddy.
Slay.
I bought your brand new CD, believe me, that shit was silly. Appreciate your hard work, really, thanks for the frisbee. Support the Knickerbockers, a couple players is iffy. Like the Lakers almost died when Kobe broke his Achilles.
Kobe.
Did a remix to Versace, Versace. Dropped it quickly, y'all got busy. Some even say I did it better than Drizzy. Niggas in the hood still scheming, they messed up.
Yeah.
In a stolen getaway car, they crashed up.
Damn.
Face full of scratches when you crash that glass cut. When it's beef, they don't pass guns, they pass blunt.
All right, so I missed last week's football talk. I'll just quick touch on my Niners. We lost 10-9 to the Panthers. honestly, that was a loss that I was not mad about. If you allow 10 points in a game, you can't be that angry. They had a phenomenal defensive stand, the Panthers did. Luke Kuechly has, like, hands down, they're saying this guy's got just a clear path, completely clear path to defensive player of the year. Like, there's really not a lot of other guys that are going to challenge him for that. So, I mean, he did his thing out there. And, you know, again, 10 points, I can't be mad. They had one field goal allowed and one touchdown. And, you know, that's just, to me, not bad. We actually had more scoring opportunities than he did. Than they did. You know, we had three field goals in the game, obviously nine points. Three field goals in the game. We could have turned one of those into a touchdown, and the game was ours. So it is what it is. Obviously, they outplayed us. It was a defensive battle that they won, but I cannot be upset with my team only letting one touchdown and one field goal go in the whole game. You know what I mean? I can't be mad about that. I can't. The Panthers played a better game. They deserve it, but I just can't be mad at a defensive battle like that, you know? So, that was that. I'm not going to go into the whole, 2 weeks of reviewing the thing. But anyway, so last week started with Thursday's game, the Colts beating the Titans. The Colts were down pretty heavy going in, 17-0, or no, they were down 14-0. Then they started scoring points in the second quarter, put up a big 17-point third quarter to bring them back, and they ended up winning the game in the end. Now, I see, like, a lot of these teams, they caught fire early. They're starting to slip a little bit. The Colts are another one of those teams. I mean, they beat some of the best teams in the NFL, straight up. So this is a team you do not want to see in the playoffs. Do not sleep on the Colts. They are fucking serious. You know, they did get waxed by the I believe the Rams beat them up pretty bad, right? Let me double-check that because I'm not really positive. I know they got beat to shit by someone who they shouldn't have. And I don't want to say the Rams. I'm wrong. The San Diego Chargers beat them, and that was the one I was talking about, I think. No, I was right, yes. Yes. The Rams beat them 38-8. So it was like, it just fucking came out of nowhere. I mean, the Rams have a pretty good pass rush and all that. So, not beyond belief that they would put up something like that. But 38 points by the Rams, that was surprising. And then, a couple of weeks before that, they lost to San Diego. But, they lost to San Diego in between beating Seattle and beating Denver. They beat us. They beat a lot of tough, tough teams. So, you just can't sleep on them, but you're starting to see a little bit of weakness, maybe some videotape for teams to watch going into the playoffs, playing those type of teams. But, it is what it is. They're 7-3, sitting with a better record than we got. So the Bills beat the Jets. Man, the Jets are, they're 500. They're 5-5, and that's exactly what they are. Some weeks they look like they got some kind of spark in them, like they could beat a team. They went out and beat the fucking Saints and then turn around and you lose to the Bills. It's just, you can't call the Jets. The Jets are not going to be a playoff team. They're not going to be a team that, you have to worry about at all this year as far as, long run and achieving something. But you don't know week in and week out which Jets you're going to play. You really don't. I mean, this is a team that, didn't allow the Bills anything in the first quarter. Second quarter, they allowed 20 points. It's not good. But classic Jets. The Ravens and the Bears go to overtime. This game was delayed by, I think, 2 hours or something like that. It was the craziest thing ever because you had a 1 o'clock game going on during the 4 o'clock games and, like, pretty much throughout the 4 o'clock games because they had the restart so late. They had, crazy tornadoes and shit going on over there. I don't know. I expected the Bears to win. I expected to win by a little more than that. I think this was another one of those situations where they were favored by like 3.5 and they fucking won by 3. So, you know, fuck me in the picks. But, yeah, I mean, the Ravens, 4-6, you know, Super Bowl team of last year, definitely not a playoff team this year. But you kind of saw that coming with the, you know, revamping of the entire team. And, I mean, it's just a continued thing that we say all season. The Bengals ended up beating the Browns. They were, you know, head-to-head. They were going pretty pretty strong. I mean, the Browns, 13 points in the first quarter, shutting the Bengals out, and the Bengals putting up 31 points in the second quarter. I mean, you just can't let that shit happen. That shit don't make any sense. 31 points in the second quarter. Jesus Christ. So, yeah, that's what happened there. You got a 7-4 Bengals team, 4-6 Browns. Browns are going to be something else. I'd say probably next year. Their record's probably going to end up far enough down to get themselves a pretty good draft pick. You know, and plus they got that that Colts draft pick, whatever that's going to be. You know, I'm sure it's not going to be anywhere, you know, high, especially with the Colts riding as well as they're doing. But, you know, from the Richardson trade, which surely seems to be a good idea. At the time, people were like, what are they, crazy, Richardson for a draft pick? Like, well, why are they doing that? And dude is seemingly a bust. I mean, they're playing – I'm pretty sure they're playing another dude as their number one back in Indianapolis now. They're not even using dude as, a, you know, as their primary back. So apparently the Browns saw something coming, and they got out of the way. With Hoyer going down, they really, really lost momentum. And I don't think they're going to win it back in any time, you know, to make anything of it this year. But they're a competitive team. They just they don't have that full game effort going. They really need some kind of chemistry. Whedon was not the guy. Hoyer started to be the guy, then he got knocked out. So, again, I think they're going to need a little bit of filling in the pieces. And, you know, whether it be Hoyer getting back on his game in the offseason or whatever the case is, because I think he's out for the year. I'm not sure. But I think the Browns are going to be good within the next couple of years. I really do. The Redskins lost to the Eagles. This putting the Eagles, I think, in first place in the shitty NFC East. You know, I mean, what can you say? It's the NFC East. Really not going to go any further with that. It's just RG3 is kind of shaky at best throughout this season. He shows some signs of being the RG3 of old. And when I say old, I mean last year in his rookie year. You know, had that horrible injury towards the end. Pretty much started this season without playing any preseason, without doing any really training camp stuff, at least any heavy stuff. And, you know, first quarter of the season was like preseason for him. So he really didn't find his groove, and you can't blame the guy for not having full confidence for taking off, but that's half of what made Robert Griffin so dangerous. So if he's not able to do that, well, then half the danger's gone. I really look forward to Monday Night Football when we play them. I'll talk about that in a little bit. The Steelers beat the Lions. The Steelers seem to be taking shape. So to speak. They're 4-6 now. This is a team that couldn't get anything right. One of the worst teams in the NFL. All signs were just pointed down. They lost 1, 2, 3, 4 in a row, put up 2 wins, lost 2, put up 2 more wins. So now they've beat the Jets, the Ravens, their rival Ravens. They beat the Ravens. They beat Buffalo, and now they beat Detroit. And Detroit's a far better team than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Detroit's a team that's going to be contending for the playoffs, and the Steelers sure as shit aren't. So it's weird. It's like they more or less just kind of showed up to get in people's way because I still have a bad feeling about Ben being a long-term quarterback for the Steelers. Obviously, he's been there long-term, but I'm just saying for the foreseeable future.
The cat in the house. Cat in the house. Let's get to the cat in the house.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill them all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
These motherfuckers are geniuses.
Keep it up, my nigga.
What the fuck? But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over